This message entitled, Is It Really the End? Was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on Good Friday, April 15th, 2022 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is Luke 23:32.
Is this really the end?
No.
Let me ask this again. Is this really the end? Praise the name of Jesus. All right. Let's see if we can kind of run through this and put this all into perspective. Here we go. We've been looking through the Gospel of Luke. We've been seeing the various situations that Jesus and his disciples find themselves in. It's getting darker. It's getting darker. It's getting darker. The end must be coming. We live in a news-saturated culture, don't we? With easy access to a wider menu of media options than any generation in history. You've got to be able to see that. There's headline news, there's CNN, there's Dateline, there's Nightline, and add to these the whole host of news journals and commentaries, both written and broadcast. It's that not immediate enough. Is that not immediate enough? There's the internet with a myriad of up-to-minute sources from the latest breaking stories to the next. But who determines what is news? Who decides what makes the headlines? The first century church was, to my mind, a source of winning news stories. Winning news stories. Peter preaches and 3,000 people get saved. Christians pray. Peter released from prison. Paul shipwrecked, safe at Malta. But more than likely, these were not the big stories. Circulating among the general public, these were not the big stories. These were Christians' things. If you were living in the first century AD, you might have heard of Stephen's execution, but probably not Paul's conversion. And you might be familiar with Herod's death, but not with an Ethiopian second birth. There is no scoop bigger than the story of God's involvement in the story of his people. But the growth of his church, one believer at a time, is not all that noticeable. Move the calendar ahead 100, move it ahead 200 years, 300 years from now, and the things we see in today's headlines will be forgotten. But the Lamb's Book of Life, no turning, no answered prayer, no sacrifice, no new beginning will be forgotten. And they won't just be footnotes. They'll be headline news. Every single one of them. Praise God. Every single one of them. It's kind of frustrating in a way when you think about it. Little things kind of pile up in your life until they become a big thing. For example, I sat down the other day, I think it was yesterday, and I tried to get these notes typed up for this message. Now, I have to do that because I took that too lightly last week. I thought I'd just go ahead and jot down some notes. I thought I'd just go ahead and say this about that and that about this and so forth. And then this thing kicked in. And I didn't know where I was. And I didn't know where it was going. And it got messed up. And I didn't have a focus anymore. I didn't have a place to settle into it. And I tried to write it out, but my laptop wouldn't do it. Seriously, it wouldn't do it. I don't know. I'm not sure why. I think I figured it out in the end. But I wasn't going to keep fussing with it all afternoon today to get this to actually say something. It wasn't working. So I wrote it out by hand. But my handwriting is so sloppy. And by the way, that's part of it. You know, where you try to write and you can't read it. That's part of it. So sloppy, so incorrect. It would be very hard to use, very hard to make my way. You heard me the week before stumbling around, trying to talk to the children in the children's sermon and stumbling around and not being able to really get anywhere with it. So sloppy, so incorrect, that would be actually hard to use. That would have just made me stumble even more through it. So I just stopped. I just stopped. I sat there and I stopped. Just stumbling my way. I want to show you something here, right from the Bible. Aha, there's my Bible. See, that's another thing. Misplacing things, thinking it's over here when it's over there. I always thought this particular thing was part of see? Out of the mind. But I thought it was like Parkinson's. Part of Parkinson's. That's all right. It's okay. I found it. Part of Parkinson's. But I already was told by a neurologist that I don't have Parkinson's. Of course, he just looked at me run down the hallway and run back and said, "You don't have Parkinson's." That doesn't sound very scientific. But, you know, supposedly he knows what he's doing, and he didn't say Parkinson's. But now I think maybe they're wondering. It's possible, because you know why? I see things. Seriously. I see things. Today, I was walking along, I think from the garage to the house. I didn't have my dog with me, but he was there. I saw him right there. And he was trying to go faster than me, which doesn't help. Okay? And he wasn't a great big dog. He was a smaller dog, but he was running quicker. That's something that appears in Parkinson's. Seeing things that aren't there. Okay? All right? Doesn't mean I have Parkinson's. It means I have something that can be very much related to it. All right? So, anyway, he goes on by, and I don't see him anymore. So I wrote this thing out by hand. It was sloppy. It was incorrect. I couldn't hardly read it. It would be very, very hard to use. It made me stumble. Look at verse 32. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Okay, there we are. Let's pick it up in Luke 23, 32. Okay? And there were also two other malefactors, thieves, crooks, robbers, and led with them to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, they were crucified with him, and the malefactors, one on the right and one on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding him, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him and said, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answered, rebuking him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss, nothing. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, praise God, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. In paradise. Boy, how in the world does God get anything to go his way? So many interruptions, so many distractions. Seems everything just goes downhill and eventually ends up botched. Is it really the end? It sure looks like it. It's dark. It's the story of salvation, but we need to see it from God's perspective and not somebody else's. It's the story of redemption, and it's coming down to the end. But is it really the end? Amen? To redeem means to buy back. We are redeemed, we are bought back by the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that thrilling? When God looks at you and me, he sees not our vanity, not our sin, not our hypocrisy, and not our shame, but his own son's righteousness. God sees me and says, Roy, he's 100% forgiven. He's right with me. Jim? All together. 100%. He's right with me. You know, there was a Boston pastor. His name was A.O. Cronin. He was walking down the street when he saw a young man with an old rusty cage, a bird cage. And in there were a whole bunch of little birds. Sonny, where'd you get those birds? Cronin asked. I trapped them out in the field, the boy said. If you'd like to get rid of them, Cronin said, I'd buy them back from you. The boy wasn't quite too sure whether he should. I don't know, he said. I was going to take them and play with them for a little while, and then I was going to feed them to the cat. Besides, mister, he said, These are just field larks. They can't even sing. The pastor persisted. I'll give you $2 for the birds and the cage. The little guy said, I'll take it. The pastor took the cage and opened the door and set the birds free. The next Saturday morning, the pastor took the cage, opened the door, and set the birds free. The next Sunday morning, Cronin came to the pulpit with an empty bird cage and told the story of the birds that he had bought back and the price he paid. There's only one problem, he said. The little boy didn't tell me the truth about one thing. He said these birds... couldn't sing. He said these birds couldn't sing. The next Sunday morning, he came to the pulpit, but only one problem. The little boy had not really told him the full truth. But I want to tell you, when I opened the cage, I let them go. And I heard them singing. I heard them singing. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. That's our song too. We're redeemed by the word of the cross, not by worldly wisdom, but by God's word of revelation, which is the cross of his son, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. The thief was brought back and redeemed. It wasn't the end for him. Remember, we asked that question, is this really the end? What about you and me? As long as we are representing Jesus, we honor God the most when we live Jesus in front of others. Even others who already know him. Now this is crucial and listen carefully. Let me show you something, all right? I've been looking at all your hymns. I want to look at number 444. All right? 444. If I get there, it'll be none too soon for me. There. It's called I Love to Tell the Story. Happens to be one of my favorites. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. Praise God. I love to tell the story. More wonderful, it seems, than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me. And that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. Oh, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat. Now listen, don't miss this. What seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story. For some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Now listen. I love to tell the story. For For those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. Glory be to God. Boy, it sure looked like it was over, didn't it? Didn't it look like it was a done deal? Didn't it look like that it was all dead and gone? It sure looked like it was over, dead and buried. But is it? Maybe it would be a good idea to think about it just a little bit. Clarify some things. You know, some what they used to call values clarification. That's God's way of looking at it. So the question become, whose values? Whose values? Listen to this. When I was a kid, and, grade school, high school, there was a book called Values Clarification. Anybody remember it? I didn't think you did, because you've told us before. You've told us before. There's something you've heard, whether you saw the book or not. There's something you've heard. I'm okay. You're okay. Right? No one likes to talk about the law much more. Values, well, they've become a cultural antique, and today's educational system doesn't instruct children on what is right and wrong. Did you know that? They're not really being instructed on what's right or wrong. Instead, they learn values clarification. You've got a whole bunch of stories, and they're all laid out, and you read them through, and then you got to figure out how you'd react to that story. That's not Christianity. That's a worldly values clarification. The values that are clarified may not be yours, they may not be mine, and they almost certainly will not be God's. A college religion instructor, watch this, uses a peculiar little test to illustrate to his students that each of us operates under an innate system of values. He offers them a list of 15 items and asks them to rank them using whatever scale they choose. They review the list, and here's the list: mouse, boy, sun, angel, ant, crab, Norwegian pine, corn, amoeba, hamburger, potato, Rolls Royce, Moby Dick, Taj Mahal, the idea of good, and plunges in. You plunge in, and the results, he says, are always kind of fascinating. But the fact is that the students do rank the items somehow illustrates that a value system, even an unconscious value system, is at work. How does the Christian make value judgments on all that? He relies on God's word, which is his law. The Christian does. The fact that Christ died for our sins does not give us license to sin more or to ignore the commands. In fact, Paul argues it is the grace that establishes God's law in our hearts and makes his values our own. You got all these things, and none of them really make sense, and certainly no sense together. But you put them together, and you make your own clarification of it. And you'll miss the point every time. Because what does God say about that? I mean, there's a worldly values clarification, but what does God say about that? All right? Is that really the end of the story? Only if that's as far as you go with it. If that's all the further you want to go with it, to that point, to the listing off of these values and these, you know, who these things are and what they are, okay, that's as far as you're going to go. But that is going to lead to death. Is that really the end of the story? Is that where you want the story to end? You know? Mouse, birdcage, and all the rest of it. Only if that's as far as you will go. But that was not the purpose of the cross. Did you know that that was not the purpose of the cross? The cross was to show that there is yet another step. Amen? Resurrection life. Life in him. Yes, death that does come to an end, and life that doesn't. Amen? Praise God. That's not the purpose of the cross, to just go so far. The cross was to show us that there is yet another step, and that's resurrection. Amen? It doesn't end at death. That's what all these other people were trying to do. They were seeing this thing and seeing that, and, oh boy, I don't know about this, and I don't know about that. And they were ending it too soon. There's resurrection life. Praise the name of Jesus. Death that does come to the end, and life that doesn't. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a movement. There's a place to go a little further. Is that the end of the story? No. No, it's not. But if that's as far as you're going to go with it, then it is for you. But that was not the purpose of the cross. The purpose of the cross was not to end there. The cross was to show there is yet another step, and that is resurrection life. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for your plan here to go further. You had every intention for the Christian heart and life to go beyond values clarification. Beyond I'm okay, you're okay. Beyond. And let Jesus take it the whole way. Hallelujah. Let Jesus take it the whole way. Praise the name of God. We want to thank you, Lord, that you are the one to give it all. You are the one, Lord, that will be exalted. You are the one, Lord, that will go the whole way. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.